Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks of fitness, episode number 57. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, don't forget to join me on Saturday, October 10th, for the first Bronx Children's Sports and Fitness Expo at the Bronx UFT headquarters located at 2500 Halsey Street. For more information, call 718-346-5852 or visit www.bodysculpt.org. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by London Angel Winters, a former Emmy Award-winning producer for NBC News and co-founder and CEO of Metaphysical Fitness. During the interview, London will explain how metaphysical fitness combines the power of modern science with the wisdom of ancient practice to strengthen your body, free your mind, and nourish your soul. London will also discuss how she used the techniques from metaphysical fitness to transform her body when she was overweight, to becoming bikini ready and winning first place in a figure competition in only 6 months at the age of 38, and how she is now able to maintain this body 6 years later at the age of 44. Metaphysical fitness trains the body, mind, and spirit as one to get results. London calls this perfect alignment. London will also explain how the subconscious mind works along with visualization to achieve a sculpted body. If you ever wondered why you're not getting the body you want through diet and exercise, listen to what London has to say about metaphysical fitness. It may be just what you need to help you reach your fitness goals. For more information about London Angel Winters and metaphysical fitness, you can visit her website at www.metaphysicalfitness.com. Now remember the words of Dr. Wayne Dyer, who said, "When you dance, your purpose is not to get to a certain place on the floor. It's to enjoy each step along the way." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 weeks of Fitness. London Angel Winters is co-founder and CEO of Metaphysical Fitness, a fitness company that incorporates high-intensity workouts with meditation. She is author of the book Loving Your Weight Off and creator of the workout series Mindful Sculpt. London brings a unique mixture of business and fitness mastery. In her 20s, she worked as a producer for NBC News, winning multiple Society of Professional Journalism awards and an Emmy. In her 30s, she traveled all over the world as executive producer of an exclusive travel network. In her 40s, London found her passion for fitness and became a champion figure competitor. This passion led her back into the workforce to become a top trainer and Tier 3 status at Equinox Gym in Santa Monica, California. She later left the brand to create Metaphysical Fitness, bringing her mastery of hypnosis and NLP, as well as an extensive background in Tantra and advanced energetics, to the field of physical fitness and the art of body sculpting. London has the most amazing story about drastically changing her career, her body, and overall way of thinking after 3 miscarriages at age 42. She hopes to inspire other women to love and transform their bodies as well. She offers a path to body transformation that harnesses the power of meditation in addition to intelligent training. London, I'd like to welcome you to my 6 weeks of fitness program. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excellent. Thank you.
Now, before we talk about your company, Metaphysical Fitness, and your philosophy about health, let's talk about you. Okay, where did you grow up?
I grew up all over the country. We moved 7 times. So
wow.
I got really used to being quite adaptable.
Wow. All over the country. So which part of the country did you prefer?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, because we did East Coast, Midwest, and West Coast. I have to say, I think I preferred West Coast, which is why I now live here.
Really? Is it because of the weather?
Yep.
Yes, really?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm a warm weather baby for sure.
Well, you know, I was in the Navy and I was stationed in San Diego, so I'm definitely partial to San Diego when it comes to the West Coast.
Definitely. San Diego is so beautiful.
Oh, it really is. Now, tell us a little about your childhood, though. What was it like?
My childhood was interesting because I was chubby most of the time. We moved, as I mentioned, so many times. And I really developed using food as a crutch because I spent a lot of time by myself. And I would spend weeks and weeks without knowing anybody when we would move to a new place. And so I developed a little bit of just finding comfort in food, which, of course, led to being a little chubby. And that was very uncomfortable for me.
Most definitely, though. So did you come from a large family?
No, we came from a small family of four, one brother and then my two parents. And so I felt alone and isolated a lot.
So you looked at food as a comfort for your loneliness.
Definitely. Entertainment, comfort, distraction. I pretty much used food for everything.
Wow. So who were your role models, would you say, growing up?
Growing up, my role model was probably my dad, because my dad was just a giant, open-hearted person with a never-ending desire to learn. And
nice.
I just really admired him for truly mastering life.
Nice. So you really loved what you saw in your father.
Absolutely. Still do.
That's so beautiful, though. Daddy's little girl, right?
Probably.
Now, I know that you were a producer at one point for NBC. Now, was that something that you always wanted to do?
By the way, I was a producer at NBC News in San Diego, which you might appreciate.
I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh. That's so cool, really.
Right? Yeah. So when I was a child, I just had a passion for sharing stories. You know, I loved the art of writing, creating stories. And that actually was the through line of my career, because originally I thought I just loved print writing. So I was a newspaper reporter, and then I became a TV news reporter. And when I got into TV news, I realized you can communicate through video and audio in addition to your words. And I saw it in action. And after I was in the news for a while, I actually just went into being in entertainment, and I became a producer of the travel show. I also worked in Hollywood, and I started to develop the ability to tell a story using words, pictures, and sound together.
Nice. So one thing led to another.
For sure. Yeah, and I would say it even communicates into my fitness career, because I believe that with fitness, it's so much about mindset. And I intentionally became a master of neuro-linguistic programming, which is very intentional language, as well as hypnosis, as well as just general sports psychology. Because when I work with a woman who is working with a weight issue, if we can tackle the mindset that sabotages her,
yes,
that plus intelligent exercise, you have forever results.
Very true. Very true. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, but now, going back to your TV days, after about 20 years in television, you switched careers, right?
Yeah, but more like 12 years, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, 12 years. Was it hard to make that switch?
Definitely hard. But having moved 7 times growing up, where I would take big leaps and experience great difficulty during a move, I became used to enduring the difficulty of change.
Wow.
And
I truly
believe that what stops most people from pursuing the life they love is the fear of change.
Oh, man, you said a mouthful. No one wants to change, right?
Nobody wants to change. Even when they can get a woman to lose 25 pounds, there's a part of her that will miss the weight. Always. Every time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to do with identity. You know, we get used to having a certain identity, and as exciting as it is to step into a new one, there are parts of us that are uncomfortable in that new identity that miss the old identity and the safety that it provided with being familiar with what's going on instead of having something new happen. Mm-hmm.
So you deal a lot with, when it comes to your clients, you deal a lot with their mind, the way they think.
Yes, 70%.
So you know what? Let's talk about metaphysical fitness. The name really piqued my interest. Now, my listeners, when they hear that, I'm sure they're going to want to know what does that mean, metaphysical fitness?
It's a great question. Thank you for asking me that, because there are a lot of definitions of metaphysical, some of which we are intending to apply and some of which we are not.
Yeah.
When I'm speaking about metaphysical fitness, you know how when you're sailing, you have the sail, but the boat is not moving because of the sail. The boat is because of the wind pushing the sail.
Right.
With our bodies, we have our physical body, and then we have energy that either makes us feel great or makes us feel bad. We have a metabolism that either makes us easy or we gain a pound by looking at things. And we have all sorts of factors that play beyond what the eye can see. Metaphysical fitness is about including what the eye can see into the equation. We work with body, mind, and spirit. And spirit is as you define it. But it's the part of you that, you know, you can have $1 million in the bank and still feel bad, still be depressed. You can have the body of your dreams and still think you're not good enough. We're defining those aspects of spirit. Spirit's that intangible where when body, mind, and spirit come together as one, you feel happy to be alive, full of energy, on fire. And that's what we want to instill in our clients.
That's very powerful. So you're saying all three working together as one.
Yes. And each and every time you show up to a workout, checking in with yourself, how's my mind today? How's my body today? How's my spirit today? And really taking care of yourself with a mind's eye on each of these three areas is equally important.
Hmm. So is that more like a holistic approach?
Yes, I would say so.
You don't hear people talking about that as much today. It's usually about how much are you eating? How much are you working out? How much weight are you lifting? How many calories are you taking in today? But you're not hearing so much about the spirit and the mind.
Exactly. And I believe it's important because I've been working with women for years and years now, trying to help them get into their dream bodies. And you may do perfectly with the food from the moment you wake up until 4:30 in the afternoon. Then you have something bad happen at work. You feel really tired. You're starting to drag, and you have no control over that bag of Doritos when you get home. What's going to help you with that behavior? Because if we can get rid of that behavior, you don't need to work out as long because you're not overeating as much. You are already going to feel more excited about your body because you're not in a battle with yourself and your body. And you, like, part of metaphysical fitness is who are you being to the people you love? Because we are beings of love. So when you feel great about you, how much better are you for your kids and for your loved ones and for your friends? So when you start really getting cooking on all cylinders, you start just shining your light in the world, and then it comes back at you, and the whole thing just takes on a momentum that really eliminates that yo-yo, you know, that yo-yo of a little bit forward and a little bit back. Now you're kind of like building on greatness, and greatness beats greatness.
Yes. Wow, that's very powerful. You know that.
Isn't that exciting?
It is. But, you know, and I get it. I really do. I hear you, but it speaks to my inner being. It speaks to my soul, to my energy, because I get it. But how do you get people who are not used to hearing that to get it?
You know, honestly, metaphysical fitness isn't for everyone, and we don't try and make it be for everyone because we honor the path that everyone is on. And some people aren't interested in looking at that, and that's okay. I don't have any idea that I'm right and they're wrong. But for the people like you whose soul responds, like something bigger than your thinking mind said, yes, you know, that's who we're interested in talking to.
It's amazing because, you know, it's almost as if like energy attracts like, right? You know, I'm drawn to you. You're drawn to me. And people that hear this will be drawn in because they're supposed to hear it. And it's for them to hear it and to tap into the energy, right?
Exactly. And also that there's no wrongdoing there because, like, some people, you know, love the car brand BMW and other people don't. And we're fine with that because, you know, every path, everyone's on a beautiful path. But for the people who are really ready for this path, I think the promise of this path is just a general well-being where there's not that suffering of that aloneness, that existential ouch, you know? We're interested in attracting the people who want to feel enveloped in the goodness and not have to, like, for example, I suffered with food issues my whole life. And it hurt, and I was suffering. And when I finally got into alignment, I felt a sense of freedom. Like, wow, I didn't, you know, like, I didn't know life could feel this good.
Huh, isn't that something?
Yeah, and that's the kind of person I want to attract. Somebody who's interested in that, that's going to just float their boat.
Yes, yes, yes. There's a saying that goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Right on. Exactly.
Right? That's amazing. Now, I noticed that you also incorporate high-intensity training with meditation. And I'm a student of high-intensity training, but why do you focus on high-intensity training with meditation?
Another amazing question. You know, you really do understand us, I can tell. Okay, why high-intensity training? Because let's look at it from two points of view. Let's look at it from the strictly spiritual point of view. A lot of people who practice mindfulness, they'll do it on a yoga mat in a very controlled situation where they're going for a meditation in a still environment, etc. That's one thing. But then what happens when you're in a fight with your loved one, your heart rate's up, everything's charged? Where's your mindfulness then? We believe that if you train for mindfulness inside of high-intensity interval training, you're essentially stressing your nervous system and your body in the same way that stress in life will happen. Because stress in life has scientifically been shown to be exactly the same as the stress of a workout.
Good point.
You know, you learn mindfulness then, you're going to have it when you most need it. Like when there's a charged situation at work and you want to handle it gracefully.
Excellent concept.
Yeah. Right? And then let's look at it from the fitness point of view. A lot of people who want to incorporate their spirituality into their fitness, they immediately go into this quote-unquote flow mode where it's easier, it's softer, it's more yin. Well, we're kind of going, that's great, and that has a place, and I do that several days a week. But high-intensity working out also has a place to meet spirituality. Strength training has a place to meet spirituality. You don't have to do a flow yoga class bring mindfulness to training. You can do it at the gym pushing iron. And in some ways, that's the best place to do it because of the mind-muscle connection and the moving sensation that can come up. Right? And you know what it feels like to push a heavy weight. All of it comes to the moment, right? Like, you're so present and feel so good, and there's an intensity, and you're connecting. Let's say you were doing a squat. You connect with your entire lower body and you land powerfully in that moment or you're going to hurt yourself. That's meditation.
You're right. That's focus, right? That's focus.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a beautiful exercise. And when you combine that with intention, like, for example, let's say you stepped into the gym and you said, what is my intention for the next 45 minutes while I'm here? My intention is to live my purpose with passion. And you did each and every rep from the point of view of activating your heart and your fire towards your purpose. How much more inspiring is your workout that day than just cranking through some reps so that you can have a certain physique, right? There's so much more that's possible. It's so exciting, you know?
It is. I mean, I agree. I remember many, many times going to the gym and feeling invigorating and focusing on what I want to accomplish. And as I'm pushing the weight, I'm thinking, yes, this, my day is going to be great. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to go. I mean, it's a part of my life. And so I really get it, London. I get it.
Isn't it the best? And we believe that you, let's say, for example, you wanted to live a fearless life. Well, what is the posture of someone who's fearless? If you had to tell me right now, what's the posture of someone who you look at them and you go, they're fearless, like open heart, right? Their shoulders are back. Their heart is revealed. They have balance, right?
Yes.
They have balance in their gait. They work very gracefully with all of their muscles. Well, let's say you decided 2016 is about me embodying fearlessness. You went into every workout in 2016 to work on your posture, get the lat strong, the rhomboid strong, open the tension in the rotator cuff, stretch the muscles of the chest, get the posterior chain of the lower body ready to handle that open-hearted posture. What if you made every workout about embodying fearlessness, and then in the way you move that weight, felt your own fearlessness? This stuff can become so exciting and so
yes,
fun.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. And that, to me, is metaphysical fitness. That's working on all cylinders.
That's amazing. That tells me you can have you can have whatever you want if you believe it and concentrate and put your whole energy into it. Right?
Absolutely. Totally.
And be present. Well, that's powerful.
I mean,
this is great. Mm-hmm. How long have you had this company? How long have you been doing this?
We've been doing metaphysical fitness 5 years. We were working strictly one-on-one with people for a very long time, and then we started to figure out the model for the masses. Like, in the beginning, you would come to me and you would say, I want to embody fearlessness, and I would design you a program to do that, and I would work with you on your embodiment, on all of the things, like how do you breathe? How does someone who's fearless breathe? How do they move? What is their stance? What is their purpose? Are they present to their purpose on a daily basis? What does their life need to look like to be present to their purpose? And I would do all these things with you, and then your life would dramatically change through the power of embodiment versus concepts and thinking, right? And we
yes.
were like, wow, I mean, this needs to go to the masses. So in the last 2 years, we've rolled it out. We have a book that we wrote called Energetic Agility, and it's about this. And we put the concept into a book, very inexpensive ebook that people could buy, and start to wrap their minds around the concept.
So that book is available on your website?
On our website, yep. And it's metaphysicalfitness.com. And we also have all sorts of blogs and whatnot. But the idea is, you know, how do we roll this out to the masses where it's accessible to anyone of any belief, that you don't have to subscribe to a theory? It's just about you dropping into the deeper version of you.
Yes, that is so, and that's so necessary today, especially today, you know?
I agree.
It is so needed. Now, I know you also wrote a book called Loving Your Weight Off.
Yes.
Now, what was the purpose of that book, and what is that book about?
Okay, that book was my first book I wrote. So I've mentioned I had a really struggle with myself for most of my life, and at the age of 38, I was like, what? You know, when you have certain birthdays, you go,
oh, sure.
You know, you're like, oh my God, I've been in this pattern. I'm 38. I've been in this pattern for 25 years now. Clearly it's not going to change unless I do something about it. That's what I did with food. I was like, everything I'm doing is not working. Like, I've tried every diet. I've tried every workout, every boot camp, everything.
Huh, right.
And I'm still suffering. So I literally dedicated that year to breaking free. And I applied everything I had been applying in my career. You know, I won Emmys. I had been incredibly successful in my career. I just had to take those success concepts and apply them to food and body. And I set myself free, and then I wrote a book about how I did it. And the book essentially boils down to one thing. To have the body you want easily for the rest of your life, it's a dance between the spiritual and the practical. You turn to the spiritual, your version of spiritual, not mine.
Right.
When you start, you know, craving that bad junk food, that one that always gets us.
Yes.
Start recognizing it as an issue. I'm out of alignment. Clearly, I'm not connected to what my deepest desire for myself is. How do I get back there? When you don't feel like working out anymore, you do the same thing. When you feel afraid and you don't feel safe in the world, you do the spiritual work. Now, say you do the spiritual work, you feel amazing and you're ready to go, then it's the practical tools. What are the best behaviors to be thin? What are the best behaviors to have metabolism, etc.?
Now, that's also very powerful, you know? Very powerful.
Yeah, well, what's nice is it sets down the battle. So, you know, a lot of people I know, if they eat a sleeve of Oreos when they're on a diet, they beat themselves up, they make a bunch of promises, they react with extremes. And that is a level of tension that recreates the same sort of kink and closure that led to the Oreos in the first place. I mean, literally, if you look at energy, like you already said, like energy attracts like energy. Failure attracts failure.
Huh.
Judgment attracts failure. You know, I'm a piece of crap thinking attracts, I'm a piece of crap behavior.
Hmm.
You pause. Let's say you ate a sleeve of Oreos and you pause and you say, wow, you know, I'm not doing well. What is it that I need? Let me just put the brakes on for a moment, bring some love and compassion to myself. I'm clearly having a hard time. Well, you just softened all of that tension, open yourself right back into that flow of divine love. Any move you make from there is probably going to create a positive result.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's about breaking these like continuous patterns where we just bang our heads against the wall.
Oh, yes, yeah. And so you're able to help people get through that. Is that correct?
Forever. Like, it's done. I've had countless clients just set into freedom and ease. And it's only done if you're willing to do the work. I mean, if you start ignoring yourself and beating yourself up, you'll attract the same behaviors again. However, once you understand that path to love and you follow it, it will always lead right to freedom. Always. And then you can still have the physique you want. It's not like you're going to settle for not having a killer physique. If you look at my website, I'm a 44-year-old woman with the exact physique that I want. But I'm doing it from love and not hammering.
Yes. Look, I've seen your videos, and I am very impressed. You look wonderful, fantastic. And you look and you look very happy, which is so important.
Yeah.
it wasn't
always that way. I'm here to tell you.
Right. So would you say that now you're basically coaching your clients, right?
I would say so, a little bit. However, not coaching from the point of view of a lot of mental gymnastics.
Yes.
Subtle shifts that open them into their own internal wisdom.
Okay.
That's the big difference between how I'm not coaching, because I'm not giving them anything other than that connection back with their own internal wisdom. And then they coach themselves.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. And then they're free.
Yes. So you're just bringing what's in them out of them.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. Just honestly, you had to boil it down. I'm just reconnecting them to their own source of love. That makes
yes.
everything progress forward again, and they get out of that loop.
Yes. Now, I've also noticed while doing some research on you, which I found very enlightening and inspiring, you know, you talk about the subconscious mind and intelligent training. Explain to my listeners about the subconscious mind and how important that is.
Great. Thank you. So when's the last time you had to think about healing a cut? If you scratch your arm, do you spend the next 3 days going, okay, heal, heal, heal?
No.
It happens for you, right? Or when's
exactly.
the last time you thought about breathing in the middle of the night when you were asleep or digesting your food?
Not at all.
Right? There's this whole force going on taking care of our bodies beyond our thinking mind. And that's what I'm calling the subconscious. It's governing your metabolism. It's governing behaviors. It's governing those deep cravings or not, the freedom from them. when we start getting into rapport with that thing that's taking care of us behind the scenes, it begins giving us a level of freedom around this whole thing. So I'll give you an example. The subconscious mind does not hear no. So if you say no sugar, the subconscious mind hears sugar. So let's say I ate a sleeve of Oreos, and my response was, no more sugar.
Right.
The subconscious mind just heard more sugar. So what am I gonna crave?
Sugar.
Sugar, like to the max, right?
Exactly.
What if I ate a sleeve of Oreos and I went, my behavior's off. And instead I created a yes directive. Like, I'd like to eat more vegetables. I'd like to incorporate more alkaline foods. I'd like to drink more water today. And you created a doing that was around a yes directive. What is the subconscious here? More water.
Exactly. More food, more vegetables. Yes.
Right. So what are you going to crave? Vegetables.
Yes. Exactly.
So that's one thing I really teach my clients, is be careful of the no's. You know, be careful of the harsh, punishing promises, because you will get what you think about. Let's say you look in the mirror every day and you say, my abs are ugly. The subconscious mind is creating more ugly abs because that's
oh my
what
goodness.
You're seeing.
More so ugly abs.
So I created an entire workout series called Mindful Sculpt. And the whole point of the series and what you do in each and every break is, let's say you're working on your glutes, right? You first, in your break, after the set, you envision your perfect glutes. So that you give your subconscious mind the image of where you want to go. Then in the work period, you get like, you put on the mindset of a sculptor and you sculpt those glutes with each and every rep. Now we're working in the positive. So we're showing the subconscious mind images of what we want, and then we're working out with that frequency, that vibration, that positive forward momentum. That's a lot different than going, my booty is ugly, and then doing a bunch of reps to punish yourself for your ugly booty, right?
So different. Yeah, that's a very good analogy. You're right.
Right? I can't tell you how many women I've trained where they say, I want to change my abs. And I say to them, what's your abs look like when they're perfect for you? And they look at me back and they say, I have no idea. And I'm like, well, how do you expect your body to take you where you want to go if you didn't give it the map? So you're living in Florida. You want to be in New York, but you never told your body what New York is or where it exists. Every time you do the visioning of what you want for your body part, you give your subconscious mind the map to get you there.
That is
amazing. This is what I use to win the figure competition.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it works. I have proof, because I was chubby and 6 months later winning figure competitions using this technology.
Amazing. Yeah, because I understand you are a champion figure competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And I have before and after pictures that show you that 6 months earlier, I was not.
Really? And you're saying, using the techniques that you're explaining today, the visualization, right?
Yep.
That is amazing.
Yeah, multiple reasons that worked for me. One, I showed my body where I was going. So not only did I get my body on board, but two, I was related to the inspiration of my goal instead of the willpower of my diet plan. You know, did I follow a rigid diet plan? Oh, yeah. I followed the typical bodybuilder diet plan. But what made it comfortable for me instead of suffering is that I was so inspired by that body I was going for, that when I was making the portions that I had to make, you know how bodybuilder diets are, it's like very strict portions.
Oh,
when
yes.
I was like saying no to the bigger portions, I was saying yes to the body. Without the inspiration, I would have just been saying no to myself on eating more food, and that sucked. You know what it feels like to train to failure, where you really push a muscle? Like,
oh, sure.
If you're so inspired to have that body. When you hit failure, you're like, yes, I'm getting there. This is amazing. And that's how I was able to stay connected and do what I needed to do for 6 months to win that goal.
And that was only in 6 months.
Yeah, it was a feat of, I mean, you know, it was an unbelievable amount of transformation. When you see the pictures, it's hard to believe that they're real.
I definitely want to see them. And my thing is, this happened in your 40s, correct?
Well, the competition where so 38, I was like, I'm done with suffering in this realm. And I set the goal to do the competition because that's kind of how I am. I'll go big. So I was like, I'm going to do this and prove I'm going to do this. I'm going to be on a stage in a bikini in 6 months. And then I did it. So it was quite an undertaking to promise myself I would be bikini ready in 6 months. But I pulled it off. That was in my very late 30s. But
right.
The part about my 40s that's inspiring is that I've, A, maintained it. As you read in my bio, I've had 3 miscarriages, and I was able to get my body back after those, which was very hard.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. So I've been able to maintain this body despite a lot of challenges.
Oh, my. It most definitely. Now, would you say that the miscarriages were your greatest challenges in life?
No. To be honest with you, struggling with food as a child was my greatest because I had no tool except to just feel bad. That was miserable.
Really?
Yeah, my greatest thing that's ever happened in my life is finding freedom around food and body. The miscarriages were brutally hard, but I was connected to divine love, so I was able to open my heart and grieve fully. It was when I didn't know how to open my heart and connect myself to love. That's what was hard, the punishing thinking.
For years, correct?
Years, yeah. It's just crazy to think back. It's crazy to me.
but you've overcome. Look where you're at now, right?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Having freedom, it's like, oh, this is the joy of being alive.
In California, no doubt. Oh, boy. Now, let me ask you, London, what advice would you give to our listeners about having good health, success, and happiness?
I believe that it comes down to alignment of body, mind, and spirit. That when you may have 2 cooking on full cylinders, you may have the body of your dreams and mind in a great place, but then if you don't feel connected to love, you're hurting. Or you may have love and you may have mind, but if you're dragging your body around like heavy luggage behind you, you're probably hurting on some level. I really believe that if we can come into alignment in body, in mind, and in spirit, that's when you have that joy. That's when the wind is in the sail.
Very good. Very good. That's nice.
Yeah.
But what does success mean to you?
For me, success is about feeling loved. Metaphysical fitness, we talk about the difference between love and purpose. But some people are very purpose-driven. Their mission is what feeds them. And then other people are love-driven. The flow of love is what feeds them. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I realized I am more love-driven than purpose-driven. And being a career woman and dominating in my career, I used to dedicate everything to my purpose, and I felt lost. And now I put that ambition of myself in check to make sure the flow of love is present.
Yes.
And when I have the flow of love, I feel whole. No matter what my checking account looks like, no matter how long it takes me to achieve my goals, if the flow of love is there, I'm good. And when I realized that about myself, I became a much happier person. I felt successful. I can tell you, when I won that Emmy, I was standing on stage receiving an Emmy, which is most people's greatest dream, and I looked at that statuette and I thought, you aren't worth it. So like, the amount of suffering that I went through to win you, it was not worth it. And I remember feeling so lost on that day, like, this is supposed to feel great and it doesn't. And it was because I'm more love-driven and purpose-driven. And I didn't have a boyfriend. I worked, 18 hours a day. I grinded myself to the bone. Now, that said, somebody who's purpose-driven would stand up, receive that Emmy, and be like, yes, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So it was a distinction I needed. I needed to remember that love matters to me more than my mission. Even though I'm good at my mission, and it's tempting to fall into it, if I let go of the flow of love, it's like I feel awful.
But there are so many people who are purpose-driven, or they work hard 18 hours a day, but they're not very happy.
Well, there's different reasons for that. I mean, maybe they're not happy because of the body-mind-spirit alignment issue. Like, if they were in alignment with body, mind, and spirit, and they work 18 hours a day, they're going to be on fire. Like, we have some clients that are incredibly powerful people, like where they have multi-million dollar companies. They're purpose-driven. They work 18 hours a day. When their body, mind, and spirit are aligned, they're happy as a clam. They would never take day off, even if you paid them, because they love it.
Wow.
There's other people that are love-driven. And even when they have the flow of love, if they're out of alignment, body, mind, and spirit, they're not happy. Like, maybe their husband loves them to death, but they don't feel good about their body, so they can't even hear his praise.
Huh, really?
So it's an interesting chart, because, you know, you can have certain things going great and be missing one thing and just feel off, you know?
Yes.
It doesn't take that much time to get that one thing back on track either. So it's just like a map. And when you know the map, you're like, oh, okay, I know why I feel bad right now, and I can fix it.
You know how to turn it back on.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Right?
I've learned, definitely.
That's
mm-hmm.
the key. You know how.
Yeah.
Once you know how, you can make it happen. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's a gift.
What's next on your bucket list?
Wow, what a great question. Next on my bucket list is I really believe in the sacred energy that lives inside of a body that's in alignment. So when we really, like, especially as women, when we embrace our bodies and come home to them fully and include them in our daily life, where we're not just leaving them behind, we're not beating them up, we're not hating them. When we start to really honor them as a temple of wisdom, the amount of intuition and true wisdom that begins to bubble up, the amount of energy that we feel, and the amount of love we are able to transmit to those people we care about becomes this ever-increasing cauldron of just burning passion for life. And right now I'm teaching an advanced women's group of a group, and we called it the Inner Cauldron. And that's really my passion project right now, is to help people come home to that place where they are walking embodiments of burning love, where they just feel connected and they're shining their light on everyone they meet, and they feel that endless well of energy and goodness.
That is beautiful, London. Really.
It's a bucket one right there, man. If you find that place, man, you know, it's good. It's good.
Yes. Listen, how can my audience find out more about you?
The best way is metaphysicalfitness.com, or we are MetaFitTV on Twitter and Instagram, or you can look me up on Facebook, London Angel Winters. Thank you.
London Winters, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you. What a great honor. I really appreciate it, truly.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks to Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks to Fitness blog at www.6weeks.com, or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.